All right, well, let's get started then with the message. This is, how do I even pronounce this? Tehib Tehift Batant, part 6, things that I've been taught from, or things I have been taught from the Bible that are not true. The first thing I want to do, though, is this is our first meeting of a new year, 2021. I want to just take a second to say hello to all the folks in the online audience that watch our videos via YouTube. We've never met any of them, but they watch, and they feel in a lot of ways that they're a part of this group, and they've been very supportive and kind to us. And many of them we're probably not going to meet till we're in heavenly places one day. 2020, I think we're all glad to put that behind us. One of the more tumultuous years we've had in our country, and who knows what 2021 will bring. Could be worse, could be better. But we know that no matter what happens in 2021, our job is the same. Our job is the same every year. It's Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Evil days. Ephesians 3:9 says, "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus." We're commanded to do that in all circumstances. Whether good, whether bad, happy days, bad days, we're to make all men see. The other thing I want to do, too, is to say hello to folks who are in the online audience who used to be in person here. We've had probably, I don't know, close to half of the people who used to come here in person that have to watch online now because of health concerns. You know, they're in a population where it wouldn't be good if they got COVID, and we've got a nice, we'll call it small, we call it cozy meeting room here. So they can't come. They want to be here, but they can't be here. So I want to say hello to all of those people. We miss you. We love you. We hope to see you again soon. So let's continue our series this week on the green book. It's a green book again. We've got green paper again at the printer, so it's back to being green. If you're anywhere in the world and you want a free copy of this book, Things I've Been Taught from the Bible That Aren't True, just email me your snail mail address and we'll send you a free copy, El Freebo. Now, we left off with Mike having a bad day. Mike had his entire belief system about something blown up in one conversation. And it was talking about when did the body of Christ start? And the question, the way it was phrased is, when did the Gentile church start? And he had one conversation with a grace pastor, and at the end of it, he's left reeling. His whole belief system is blown up because Mike thought that the Gentile church started in Acts 2. And when you actually read the verses, we can't find a Gentile in Acts 2. Remember last time we played Find a Gentile? We lost. We couldn't find a Gentile. And that was frustrating. I'm sure it was frustrating for you in the conversation. Let me quote the booklet here. This is top of page 8. Mike says, "I came to realize that there were no Gentiles there. Gentiles were not allowed to be there." He didn't know that either. That was another thing he pointed out to you. This was the Feast of Pentecost. Gentiles were not allowed. "Peter never preached to Gentiles at Pentecost, only the men of Israel and Jewish proselytes." The pastor then asks, "This being the case, please tell me how could Acts 2 and Pentecost be the birthplace of the Gentile church? There's no Gentiles there. Peter's not addressing Gentiles." Mike has a very honest answer here. I could not answer the question or refute the scripture being presented. That's frustrating, isn't it? And remember, Mike is a pastor. This is not Joe Pewsitter here. So he's boxed in. Well, why is he boxed in? He's boxed in because he just found out that his belief system is clearly unbiblical. That's not a comfortable position to be in if you're a pastor. And Mike had made a choice that boxed him in too. The choice was, let God and His Word be true and every man a liar. Mike chose to be a Bible believer. Psalm 138:2 says, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thy name. So Mike can't fight the Bible verses. But he's clearly unbiblical. So what does he do? What does he do now? What's his choice? Mike needs to change himself. He needs to let the Bible change him. He needs to change his belief system to match the Bible. Now moving along, just like the end of the infomercial says, but wait, there's more. Quoting the booklet, while I was thinking about that, he's clearly reeling, he's thinking about this, and the grace pastor is just piling on him now. He read a verse from Acts 2 that plainly states, nothing new started there. Pentecost was not the beginning of a new church. If you would please turn over to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read the verse. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It's at the end of Peter's sermon. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Question. How can you add something to something if it didn't exist yet? If I'm adding to something, that means the something was there before that day, doesn't it? So the church that was added to was in existence before Peter started preaching that day. The church was there, the church of the little flock of Israel. Acts 2 is not the birthday of the church. I know a thing or two about the birthday of a church. I was there at the birthday of this church. We didn't look around the room and say, you're added to us, you're added to us. We said, okay, this is our first meeting. The people who were there were the people that were there. If I'm adding, you know, if Stefan ever pays me the $20 he owes me back, I will add it to the money in my wallet. That doesn't mean it's the birthday of my wallet. My wallet was there. Just kidding. He doesn't owe me 20 bucks. But the Bible truth is the church in Acts 2 is the believing little flock of Israel that have been there since way back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not a new church. It's not the birthday of the Gentile church. What was their belief system? Their belief system is, this is our Messiah. We need to follow Him. We need to get water baptized. We need to do what He says. The kingdom's at hand. That was their belief system. We know that even Peter and the 12 didn't even know about the cross until Matthew 16. And when they found out about it, they tried to stop it. Well, the cross is our gospel. Peter tried to stop our gospel. So, Acts 2 is not, nor can it be, the beginning of the dispensation of God's grace. It is a continuation of Israel's program. It's not the beginning of the church age. I know a lot of people call our current dispensation that we live in the, quote, church age. Acts 2 is not the beginning of that. Now, what Mike does next is very interesting to me. He's got to respond now. He's found out he was dead wrong. He's having a part of his belief system blown up in his face in one conversation. And what he does next is very interesting, because I didn't know Mike when any of this was going on in his life. He didn't know I existed. I didn't know he existed. We never met. But what he did in response to getting a Bible 2x4 smack across the face, which is probably what it felt like, what he did was exactly what I was taught to do when I was being taught how to study the Bible, how to study God's Word. So what did he do? Well, he sat down. There's somebody here that always says, you need to read, you need to really read. Well, he did that. He read the verses carefully in question, and then he employed a revolutionary leap in Bible study technology. What was his method that he used? He used his other hand. He used the two-handed Bible study method, where he looked at one verse on one page, and then he looked at another one on the other. I know, revolutionary. Only the best. You only get the best here. But you know, you think about the verse 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How in the world are you going to do that? How are you going to find out where the divisions are? How are you going to find out what needs to be divided from what? I mean, who's picking verses? We know that we're not supposed to bring animal sacrifices to a temple on Saturday, don't we? We know that. We're not under the Old Testament law. We know we're not supposed to be boat builders, large boat builders like Noah. But when you're talking about God's programs here, especially what we call the New Testament, how do you figure out what to divide and where to do it? Where's the square peg and the round hole? Well, how do you know that one is a square peg and one is a round hole? I'll tell you how. Especially the kids, I want you to pay attention here. When you're looking at your Bible and you've got two hands in your Bible and you're focusing on two different places, what you need to do is you need to compare verses and contrast verses. What does compare mean? Do you know what compare means? Yes, sir.
To look at things that are alike.
Right. When you're comparing things, you're finding things that are similar. So I've got two verses, and I'm looking at these two verses, and I'm finding things that are similar. If I'm out there comparing cars, my brother's car is parked next to me in the parking lot. If I compare my car to his car, what do I see? Well, I see, okay, well, they're both SUVs. They both have four doors. They both have four wheels. These are things that are similar. Now, when I'm contrasting, that would be the opposite of comparing, isn't it? I'm looking in verses for things that are different. Back to the car analogy in the parking lot. If I'm looking at my car versus my brother's car, well, one's a Dodge and one's a Chevy. One's black and one's blue. These are things that are different. This is how it works when you come to Bible study. And let's try it here. Let's try the two-handed Bible study method with a couple of verses. If you turn, well, you may not even have to turn it. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and about verse 19. We're going to compare and contrast a couple of passages in our Bible and see how to rightly divide the word of truth. In Acts 3:19 it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now think about that. Peter's preaching future forgiveness of sins. What verse pops out in my mind when I read that is Colossians 2:13. I thought I already have a present possession of forgiveness of all sins. But anyways, get getting sidetracked. Verse 20. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Everybody got their second hand ready? Let's go over to Romans chapter 16. And we'll start in verse 24. Romans 16:24. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." So let's compare first. What are some things in both passages that are similar? Similar things. The first thing I noticed is they're both preaching, aren't they? Peter's preaching, Paul's preaching, talking about preaching, preaching's in there. Who are they preaching about? They're preaching about Jesus Christ. You see there, God the Father in both seems to be referenced. God's in there. Anybody notice anything similar about those two verses? Any other similar thing? I'll tell you. Look at both verses. They end with the same four words. That's interesting. Okay, so that's comparing. Let's contrast now. What's different about the two verses? I can tell you in the first one, we already mentioned it. One, Peter's talking. One, Paul is talking. I already mentioned that Peter's talking about future forgiveness, where Paul preaches you have present forgiveness of all sins, but that's not directly in the passage. What is the biggest thing that is different, especially considering they both end with the same four words? What is the biggest thing that is different between that we should note, that should get our attention? Anyone know? What's that? That's true. Is he the most arrogant writer in the Bible? He says, "My gospel." as if he was dispensed the gospel from the Lord exclusively for him. Oh, wait. So it's either true or he's very arrogant, correct? Right. The biggest thing to note, though, is what comes right before the last four words, since the world began. In Acts 3, it says, spoken by all. Peter says, this message, what I'm teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, God hath spoken by the mouth of, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All his holy prophets since the world began. Does that match what Paul said? What does Paul say? Similar or different? Opposite. Read that verse again. Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, I spent a lot of time in church as a kid. I spent a lot of time in Christian school. I spent a lot of time in Bible studies, in youth groups. No one ever pointed that out to me. And I never noticed it because I didn't know to look. But those things are opposite, aren't they? Peter says, my message about the Lord Jesus Christ is the same message that was spoken by the mouth of all God's holy prophets. Paul says, and Peter calls Paul's writing scripture, Paul says, my message, my gospel about Jesus Christ was a mystery and kept secret since the world began. That is a big division to note in the Bible, isn't it? That's something that should get our attention. So we've used the revolutionary two-handed Bible study technique. We've looked at two passages of Scripture, and we've already seen Peter and Paul were both preaching Jesus. They were both preaching Jesus after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They were both presenting a gospel. But their messages, by the nature of the last four words and what comes before them, their messages were completely different. Maybe I should look into this further. That's what happened to me. And I got to tell you, I know I've told you guys all this before. I hated when we would get messages from Paul's books in Bible study in church. This guy is boring. There's no battles. There's no big miracles happening. There's nothing exciting. It's just doctrine, teaching, doctrine, teaching, doctrine, teaching. But Peter's message about Christ, known and spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, Paul's message about Christ, Paul's gospel kept secret since the world began. What? And again, we've only looked at two passages of Scripture, compared them, contrasted them, but what has our Bible shown us in this, just by doing this one section? Two verses. What have we seen? Well, we've seen the key to 2 Timothy 2:15. How are you going to rightly divide the word of truth? Where are the divisions? Our Bible has shown us the key in only two verses. It says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, doesn't it? The difference, well, I'm out of board space here. What is the biggest help to help us rightly divide the word of truth? One is to identify what's prophecy, and one is to identify what is mystery. God's prophetic program from God's mystery program. The first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And your Bible talks about God's plan for the earth all the way from Genesis 1:1 till Paul. In Paul, we learn God's mystery program for the heavenly places. Isn't that what Peter says right here in the verse? God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. What do prophets do? They prophesy. That's the prophecy program. Paul says, my message is a mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It's very simple to see right there in the verses, isn't it? When somebody rubbed my dirty little nose in it, I said, whoa, how did I never see that? Kind of like Mike having his bad day. Why did I never see that? But that is the key to help us learn how to rightly divide our Bibles. What is prophecy and what is mystery? So Mike's starting to have some Ephesians 3:9 happening here. He's starting to see. A man is making him see a little bit. And he says in the booklet, quote, the icing on the cake was that Peter preached a kingdom message to the Jews at Pentecost in Acts 2, not a grace message. In Acts 2:23 through 30, Peter spoke explaining the resurrection of Christ as a fulfillment of prophecy. Christ is to sit on David's throne in the kingdom. There is no aspect of what we now know as the message of grace. That was probably a hard thing for you to admit, wasn't it? This is, Mike is in, we all have different stages of growth as members of the body of Christ. You know, the first thing is you get saved. Somebody tells you Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. You need to trust his payment, his death, his burial, his resurrection as complete payment for your sins. And then after that, in that moment when you trust what Christ did, God saves you, he seals you, you have a seat in heavenly places for all eternity, then you now have to start learning how to act like what you are, who you are in Christ Jesus, what God has made you in Christ Jesus. And sometimes that can be painful. And this is where we find Mike at this portion of the book. He's in the pain part of the process. He's having his knees knocked out from underneath him. He's having his understanding challenged. No doubt maybe your pride was hurt a little in the conversation. But his traditions, his beliefs, his experience are all being challenged by a guy who he calls a friend. Now, this is a rhetorical question, Mike, so don't answer. Why would a guy do that to his friend? Why would a guy attack, tear down, prove wrong? Why would a guy do that to his friend? The answer is because Mike's friend cared about him. Look over, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, for we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Anybody ever... Oh, I'm sorry, did I have the wrong... Well, the verse is in the Bible, I just have the reference wrong. This is what happens with late night copy and paste and click into my outline. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. No, I bet it's 13. No. Ah, well, somebody find the reference. But you see the reference here to a building, like a construction project. Has anybody here ever built a building before of any kind? Really? Maybe Legos or Lincoln Logs? Okay. I've built a fair amount of buildings in my life. I used to work for a construction company, and back in the days when I was a real man, honey, I had a truck and worked at a construction company. But there are things that can go wrong in the process of building. I remember my phone was the one that rang when something went wrong at the company. Nobody called me to say, hey, I'm having a wonderful day, thanks for a great job. I was the guy that got called when things go wrong. And I remember I picked up a phone call, and the customer was angry. He said, you built my building yesterday. I have a serious problem. All right, here we go. Let's get the paper. Start taking this guy's list down. Okay, sir, what's wrong with your building, sir? And he says, nothing. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's everything I wanted. I love it. Okay. I thought you said you had a serious problem. I said, what exactly is wrong then? Well, your builder built it on my neighbor's property.
That's not funny.
It was not funny. No, I was not laughing that morning.
Oh, no.
So things can go wrong, and I will tell you from my own experience, it was painful, it was tedious, it was a process getting the building onto the right property. But that is exactly the same reason Mike's friend is putting him through pain. Why he's tearing down Mike's beliefs, why he's identified that Mike had built his doctrinal and theological building on the wrong foundation. That's why his friend is doing this to him. It's out of love. It doesn't mean it's fun, but it's definitely out of love. Let me get myself some room here. Anybody find that reference yet?
1 Corinthians 3:11.
11.
Up about foundation.
Yes. So let's go there. This is why Mike's friend is putting him through pain. Corinthians 3, look at verse 9, is that right here? Hope if I get to it. Yes. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. Who's talking? Paul is talking. What does he call himself next? Me, Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Well, wait a minute. Christ has been preached for a long time before Paul ever shows up, doesn't he? Or hasn't he? But Paul's saying, I'm the wise master builder. I've laid the foundation. That can only be true if his message is different than the message of Peter and the 12. Which is okay. We just identified earlier on that that is the case. He says, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Mike's friend knew that Mike wasn't doing this. He wasn't building on a Pauline foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a whole big building of beliefs and theology and everything that he knew was right, and it was being built on two foundations. Mike was taking stuff from the prophetic program and stuff from Paul's mystery program, and he was wrongly combining them and trying to build a house which couldn't stand. It couldn't stand one conversation. It's cracking at the roof because Mike knew that the Gentile church started in Acts 2, and when we went and looked at the verses, we couldn't find a Gentile anywhere. And Gentiles weren't allowed to be there. You can't build properly like this, can you? I'm going to straddle two different foundations of messages that are in many ways opposite to each other. Anybody ever heard the saying, you need to rob Peter to pay Paul? That's what we need to do when we rightly divide the word of truth. We need to understand that God dispensed this message of grace to Paul. He gave him to be our 1 Timothy 1:16 pattern. Me first, a pattern to them which would hereafter believe. So Mike's friend is challenging him because he knew Mike had this straddle structure here of his theology. He had part of it resting on prophecy and part of it resting on mystery. It was a wrong conglomeration of the word of truth. Wrong combination of the word of truth. So that's why the pain. Mike's building needed to be torn down. And demolition can be painful, but the reason Mike's friend did this for him is because he cared about not only Mike's present, but Mike's eternity. Do you still have 1 Corinthians 3 there? Look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. And what is the judgment? What is being judged? Your heart's intent? Your sincerity? No. What sort of work are you doing? Is it on the Pauline foundation, the wise master builder foundation of Christ? Or is it Peter's prophecy program of Christ? If you're in this dispensation and you're building on that, would that be a right thing to do? So your work, if you're doing work according to this, it would be the wrong sort. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And guess what? That reward is eternal. You get the reward from the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You take that with you through all eternity. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Again, the loss is eternal. You don't have any second chances. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So that's why Mike's friend is putting him through this trouble. And I love how candid and open Mike is about his responses. He's kind of baring his heart to anybody in the world who's gotten the book and being very honest about where he's at. And I quote the book, he says, "I came home visibly shaken." And then on the next page he says, "How could I have read my Bible and then teach people that the Gentile church started at Pentecost?" This is the regret of a person who spent time in a pulpit teaching people, and he realized that I've taught them completely wrong. Well, you can't go back and undo the past, but you can correct your future. And that's what Mike allowed to happen to him. He talks about how he saw that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in Acts 2 is presented as the bad news. Now, I just told you all the good news about 10 minutes ago. The good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Lord Jesus Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust him. That's the good news. What's the bad news? You're a filthy, rotten sinner that needs saving, just like me. That's the bad news. Look over again at Acts 2, and we'll finish up here in a couple of minutes. Acts chapter 2. In verse 23, this is Peter preaching Christ. And here Peter's going to present the bad news. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Oh, so what's he talking about? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's clearly the bad news. He goes on for a while longer, but down in verse 36, he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Uh-oh. And the men, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the bad news. They heard the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We killed him. God raised him up. Now he's Lord and Christ. Uh-oh. What do I do?" The death, burial, and resurrection is clearly the bad news in that chapter, is it not? And then in response to that, they said, what do we do? What did Peter tell them? Repent, be baptized, every one of you. So the bad news in Acts 2 is Paul's good news. Is that different? Can you get any more different than that? This is why I do this, why I rightly divide the word of truth, why it's so important. You got to get the gospel right. What's the point about anything in doctrine or theology or eschatology or any other ology you want to get into? What is the point of any of it if you don't know the gospel, if you're not saved? How does that compare with Paul? Well, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," in 1 Corinthians 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." What's the gospel, Paul? He says, "By which also ye are saved." And what does he say next? "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Paul's good news is Peter's bad news. How are you going to build a house on both of those foundations? They're both biblical. They're both dispensed by God. They're both Bible truths, but they're to two different audiences. You're in one, but you're not in the other. And we'll finish up with this. We'll leave with Mike mortified. Quote, the booklet. I am, at this point, mortified. Mortified, oh boy. And I believe passed through the editor. I thought I got every one of those out of the book. Mike likes to say, I believe, and then I razz him. I said, nobody cares what you believe. Just state a fact and prove it. So this one missed the editor. It says, mortified because I believe preachers will one day give an account as to how they teach the Word of God. Did my mind then wonder what else I had taught wrong? If I was wrong about this, what else was I wrong about? And we found out later quite a good little bit more. Had to adjust quite a few of your beliefs to match the Bible. So that is where we'll leave off in Tehif Debatant, part 6. Does anyone... Oh, let me close in prayer for those that need to go. And those that need to go can go, and those that want to stay and talk can stay and talk.